Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erev and Tzadik Gimel. We are 4 lines from the top of the Amud. We're in our discussion where Abaye challenged the halacha that we mentioned earlier, where we have 2 chatzeres, a larger courtyard adjacent to a smaller one, and the larger chatzer overlaps the smaller one, in which case there is a pesach between the larger and the smaller one. As far as the larger one is concerned, he sees an entranceway between himself and the small chatzer, in contrast with the small chatzer, who is completely breached to the larger one because he is narrower than the larger one. So he doesn't have any pesach, doesn't have any overlaps. So as far as the smaller one, he's nifrat, but maloy is completely breached to the larger chatzer. And what is the halacha? We mentioned regarding kelayim that if you plant vines in the larger chatzer, then you can't go ahead and plant any other varieties of zroim in the small chatzer. Generally, a harchaka of 4 amos is sufficient. As long as you leave a gap, a distance of 4 amos between the vines and the zroim, that's enough. But in this case, where the small chatzer is regarded like batal, like the entranceway to the gadol, due to the fact that the gadol overlaps him, has those mechitzes, which create that pesach, the entire katan, the small-sized chatzer, is regarded merely like an entranceway to the larger one. And if you plant anywhere within the small-sized chatzer, it's as though you're planting inside the large chatzer, near the vines. And therefore it's asur. Abaye challenged that. He says, generally speaking, a mechitza is meant to make things mutter, to permit things to function in a positive capacity, to enclose, to create an enclosure, to be mater. Where do we find that a mechitza should create iser? As you're suggesting that this overlap, this pesach, which is creating an entranceway for the sake of the larger one, can go ahead and make things worse for the small chatzer. Generally, a gap of 4 amos between vines and plants is sufficient. In this case, due to that mechitza, you cannot plant throughout the entire small chatzer. Where do we find a precedent for this concept that a mechitza can accomplish iser? That was a bias challenge. Says the Gemara 4 lines from the top of the Amud, Amalei Rabba bar Avchanan Labai. V'loi matzinu mechitza l'iser? Really? We never find a precedent for such a concept that a mechitza should come make iser? V'atani will enter the bias. Bayis shechetzi mikura v'yaveim. Hey home, a room which is partially roofed. So there's a roof extending up until the half point of this room. And the other half of the room is unroofed, exposed to the open air. Gifanim kan. If you have vines planted under the roofed portion of the room, mutal ezraya kan. You can plant under the unroofed portion. You can plant plants. And the other plants. There's no concern of kelayim. Why? Explains Rashi. We apply the concept of pi tikro yerd v'seisim. The edge of that roof is viewed as though it extends downwards and creates a pesach to separate the vines from the area beyond it. So if you have a room partially roofed, this pitikra, the edge of that ceiling, the vertical aspect of that ceiling facing you, right? When you come into that roof portion, it's as though you're entering a new area, a separate area, because of that vertical aspect of that roof which is facing you. So that edge of that vertical aspect is viewed as though it extends downwards, creates that separate area, a pesach, and separates the vines which are planted underneath that roof portion from the open area beyond it. And you can plant in both areas without any separation, without separating, creating a gap of 4 amos, which is generally the required harchaka. So you have a mechitza between the two. So, if there are gfanim kan, underneath the roof, mutal is raya kan, you can plant right outside. V'ilu hishve eskiruyay, what if you go ahead and even it out? You extend the roof portion. You extend the ceiling over the rest of the house. What happens then? You've added mechitza, elser. Now it becomes elser. You can no longer plant without harchaka, without leaving a gap between vines and plants. So we find the concept of a mechitza creating iser. So this was a response to Abai. You're looking for a precedent. Here it is. A mechitza is going to be applied stringently. Amalei Abai said, it's not because you added mechitza, it's because you removed mechitza. You rendered the pitikra obsolete. You covered up the pitikra. You extended the roof over to the rest of the house. You no longer have that separating factor of the pitikra, the edge of the roof, which comes downward. You don't have it. Amalei Abai told him, Hasam silk mechitza su. The reason why it's asr, because you removed the effect of the mechitza. My challenge was, what do we find that erecting a mechitza, constructing a mechitza, can bring asr? And you don't have a precedent to that concept from this halacha. Shalach le Rav l'Abaye. Rav went ahead and sent a message to Abaye, biyad Rav Shmaya bar Zira, with this person, Rav Shmaya bar Zira, to respond to Abaye's kash, v'loi matzinu mechitza l'isr? This was the message. Do we not find a precedent of a mechitza being applied for the sake of isr? V'atani, we learn to the Brice, yesh b'mechitzis hakerem l'hokel l'achmer. We find that mechitzis pertaining to vineyards can sometimes be applied for a lenient sake, for l'kula, and sometimes l'achmer, ketzad, for example. Kerem hanotua adikir mechitza. You have a vineyard planted up until the actual wall. Zereya mi'ikar mechitza ve'elach. That allows you to plant other varieties right on the other side of that mechitza without leaving any distance between the vines and plants, because you have a mechitza which creates that absolute separation. She'ilu ein sha mechitza. Were there not have been a mechitza there, Marchik dalad amis vizira, then you have to leave a gap of 4 amis and then plant. Vizeo mechitzas hakerem lahakel. Here's an example where mechitzas of kerem can be applied lekula. The fact that there's a mechitza here, it lessens the requirements. You don't need to have a gap left between vines and plants. So that's an example of lekula. Ula hachmer ketzat. What's an example of applying mechitzas by kerem in the context of chumrah? Ketzat, for example, hayamashich min hakoisel yudalef amma. You have a wall, and the vines are merely 11 amma from that wall. So the gap between vines and wall are less than 12 amma. Could you plant in that empty area? Lo yavi zer l'sham. You cannot plant another variety in that tract of land. Shil molei ein mechitza. Because if there would be no mechitza there, marchik dalad amis v'zirei, he would simply leave 4 amma empty, and then plant. V'zoyhi mechitza sakerem l'achmer. This is an example where mechitza sakerem create chumrah. If not for the mechitza, all you need to do is leave a 4 amma gap. You don't need more than 4 amma space between vines and plants. Because there's a mechitza there, that prevents you from planting within the empty space between mechitza and vines, unless there's a significant amount of area there. It needs to be 12 amis or more, but any less than that doesn't allow you to plant. So this was the message to Abaye. Look, we found a precedent for mechitza is l'isr. Amalei Abaye responded, v'tameich, according to you, oisven masnisen. You can ask the same kasha from a Mishnah, which is more reliable. Why do you have to ask me from a Brice? We found the same halacha in a Mishnah. It's not. Karachas akerem, a bald spot within a kerem. So if you have the middle portion of the kerem, it's been destroyed and uprooted. You have an empty tract of land. Could you plant something else in there without concern of kelayim? So it depends how large an area it is. Veshama imim chadal amis. It needs to be at least 24 amis by 24 amis to allow planting something else in there. Upsil imim tezayin amo. You don't need 24. As long as it's 16 by 16, you're okay. So that's when it comes to the karachas hakerem, mechol hakerem, which is the circle around the kerem, the empty space between the vineyard and the mechitzis around the area. How large does that area have to be to allow planting? Mishama oimrim tezayin amma, needs to be at least 16 amas wide. Upsil oimrim yud beis amma, 12 is okay. Explains the Mishnah. How exactly do we describe this karachas akerem? Kerem shechora v'emtzi isay. if the middle portion of the vineyard has been uprooted and destroyed, so karagas means a bald spot. Now you have an empty piece of land. Im ein sham tezayin ama, so if you don't have an area large enough, tezayin ama, we're going with Beis Hillel, lo yavizer l'sham, you can't bring any other varieties of plants into that area. Hayisham tezayin ama, if it was at least 16 amas wide, then you could plant as follows. Nice and like the avodasi. First, you deduct 4 amas, which is meant as a service area for the vineyard. Vezarea samaiser, and you can plant throughout the rest of the area. So we have a vineyard. In the middle, we have an empty piece of land, which is at least 16 amas wide. So what we do is as follows. We take 4 amas from either side, which is considered to be the kedavidosai of the kerem, the service area where they would bring their animals to plow, to pick the grapes. It's considered to be part of the kerem. It's bottled to the kerem. So you have to deduct from that 16. 4 on this side is bottled to the kerem. 4 on this side is bottled to the kerem. You're left with 8 in the middle. That allows you to plant a different type of zera there without kalayim concerns. Why 8? Explains Rashi. A shear of a mokim sada, a mokim chashav, a prominently sized field, a minimum size, needs to be at least 4 amis in size. So if it's less than 8 amis, what happens is, if you go ahead and split that piece of land to 2, a portion part to the right, a portion part to the left, then the vineyard on either side would be mevatlet, would nullify it, because it doesn't have enough shear, it doesn't have a shear sada. It would be considered like part of the vineyard to the right and to the left. So you need to have at least 8 amis, that if you would theoretically split into 2, would leave you enough shear sada per side, 4 amis per side, in which case the kerem on either side doesn't have the power to override it and to mevatl it and to pull it into the kerem and make it as part of the kerem. So that's why you have to have 16. Again, 16 in the middle, 4 for this side as a service area, 4 for this side as a service area, 8 in the middle, which is enough of a shear to be considered its own separate entity, a din of sada, in which case planting there is permitted. It's not as though you're planting in a vineyard. It's considered to be its own separate field. So that's the shear of korachas hakerem. Continues the Mishnah, eizohi mechoyl hakerem. How do we describe the other halacha? This ring around the circle around the kerem. Bein hakerem legeder. It's the empty space between the vineyard and the fence surrounding the vineyard. Shim ein sham yud beiz amma. If you have less than 12 amas there, lo yavizer l'sham, don't plant anything else in there. Hayisham yid beiz amma. If it was at least 12 amas wide, then you could plant as follows. Noisim lo yikidev adosai. Once again, you deduct 4 amas, which is part and parcel of the kerem. It's a service area. Vezer samaisar, and then you could plant throughout the rest of the area. So, again, the point is, because if you have the vineyard and the fence and the 12 amis in between, the vineyard and the fence, you take 4, deduct it, make it as part of the kerem, it's the service area of the kerem, and once you have that taken care of, you can go and plant the rest of the area to the fence. So what do we see here? This is Abaye speaking. You were bringing me a kashma b'raisa, you could have pointed the same thing out from the Mishnah. If there would be no mechitza here, what is required? Merely a herchaka, 4 amis. As long as you keep a distance, a 4 amis distance from the vineyard, you're okay. You don't need 12, you don't need 16, 24. It's only because you have mechitzas here that things get complicated and require a much greater sized area, 12, 16, 24 amis. So apparently mechitzas are affecting iser. They're affecting stringencies. And this can be a good raya. Says Abaye speaking. Ella, says Abaye, continues speaking. Ella must be, hosam live hanu taima. Over there, the reason must be as follows. Why do we require so much space when we have these mechitzas? Why isn't a standard gap of 4 amma sufficient? She says like this. Ella, the koldaled amis l'gabi kerem, avaydes hakerem. Let's start with that. The first 4 amis next to the Kerem is considered part and parcel of the Kerem. It's a service area of the Kerem. And you certainly can't plant there. Now, legabi gather, the forearm is near the gather, near the fence. That also is not part of the equation. Why? Kivan de loy mizdaran, since it's not meant for planting. The plowing, etc., would undermine the foundation of that fence. So it's not meant for planting, and therefore, afkuri mafkilu, the owner is mafkir, that tract of land, to the wall. He deems that as part of the wall. It's not considered to be a planting area. So it can't be reckoned as part of the equation here. So what's left? The empty space in the middle, right? The portion near the kerem is part of the kerem. Near the wall is not really a planting area. The baini. Okay, so let's take a look at the area in between. E ikadalad. If it has an area of 4 amos, chashivan, then they're chashiv. Viloi, otherwise, loy chashivan, they're not chashiv. So that's how we understand these halachas, mechoila kerem and gedara kerem. It's not that the mechitza is coming to create iser. Right? That was a bias problem. He says, a mechitza which is coming to encompass and enclose and create can be applied l'iser. It can make things worse. But in this case, in the case of kalayim, it's not that the din of mechitza is coming to make chumras, make isurim. It's simply circumstantial, by default. The fact is, you only have that much space between the kerem and the mechitza. And part of it belongs to the kerem, part of it is not really plantable, it's part of the mechitza. So all you have is a small area. And we have to take a look at it. Is it large enough in size to be considered its own makam, its own sada, or perhaps it's too small and it's batal to the kerem, which doesn't allow planting. We can now plant another zera in a kerem. So it's not that the mechitza here is creating a concern. It's not that the enclosure here is creating iser. By default, by virtue of the presence of a mechitza, you're only left with a small tract of land to plant. You have to go and evaluate it, whether it has chashivas, whether it's considered to be its own independent sada, which case you can plant it, or perhaps it's too small to be considered its own sada, and it's batal to the kerem, in which case you can't plant there. So you have no raya to our discussion, and you certainly don't have a precedent to the concept that constructing a mechitza can result in iser. Continues the Gemara. Okay, getting back to Erevin, Amar Rav Yehuda, Gimel Karfifos. Let's say we have three enclosures, Zeh Betzad Zeh, one next to the other. Rashi describes these Karfifos as follows. Generally, a mechitza is constructed properly using both Shesi Ve'erev, vertical and horizontal elements, to give it proper support. These Karfifos, these enclosures here, were actually built using only one of those two elements, either only vertical elements, poles lined up, or horizontal elements, strings going across. So it's not really a properly constructed mechitza. It doesn't really have the full status of a residentially enclosed area, which is meant to have proper mechitzas. This is partial mechitzas. Now, we already learned this back on Daf Tezayin. So what is the halacha here? So it depends who's residing in this enclosure. If it's just a single person, a yachid, then he can use the area on Shabbos, provided it's small enough in size and has that personal element to it, up until the size of 2 se'ah. 2 se'ah is 100 by 50 amis. Then it still maintains its residential flavor to it. It's considered to be residential in nature, if it's small enough, despite the fact that the mechitzas are weak and flimsy mechitzas. So if it's up until 2 se'ah, you can carry freely. If it's beyond 2 se'ah, then being that the mechitzas are not really properly constructed and it's really large in size, it appears like an unenclosed area, and it can carry throughout that area. But if we have a multitude of people, we have at least 3 people living in this karfif, then we give them even more than 2 se'ah. They can carry throughout this large enclosure as much as they need. As large size enclosure they need, they can go and carry in this enclosure. So that's the basic difference between a yachid, a single person living in this improperly constructed enclosure versus three people, the difference is how large size it can be. A yachid only gets an enclosure up until two sun size. If we have three people, then regardless of how big it is, they can use it k'day tzarchan according to their needs. Says the Gemara again, Amar Yehuda Gimel Karfifa Yizeh B'tzadzeh. If you have three of these enclosures lined up, but they're not all evenly sized, the two outer ones, the ones on the right and left, are mugufafim, meaning they're overlapping the middle one. They're wider than the middle one. But the middle one does not have those overlaps because he's less wide than the other ones. You have a single person residing in each one of these karfifos. So what is halacha? We just learned earlier that when we have one property which overlaps the other one, he controls the smaller one. He extends into the smaller one. It's as though he's living in the smaller one. So now in this case, the two extreme karfifos, which are larger in size, which overlap the middle one, they're controlling the middle one. And the people who reside in the outer ones are as though they're living in the middle one. So we have one person in each enclosure. So what happens? In the middle enclosure, it's as though we have three people, because the residents of the two extreme karfifos are considered as though they're extending into the middle one. We have three people living in the middle one. Three people? They can carry in a karfif even larger in size. So says the Gemara, Nasa Kishayar. They've turned into a caravan. This is a term for three people or more. And now they're unlimited. The nice land called Tsarkan, they can carry throughout this enclosure, despite its large size. So if we take a look at the diagram in Rashi, towards the bottom, so there are two diagrams. We're discussing the one on top. So you'll notice the three karfifos, right, middle and left. The two extreme ones are wider than the middle one. They overlap. That's why they're considered to be controlling him. And the middle one is more like a Pesach relative to the outer ones. And we consider the residents of the two extreme ones as though they're living in the middle one. We have three people living in the middle one. Therefore, it can even be large in size. That's halacha. When three people are residing in this improperly constructed machitza, we allow them to carry even if it's large in size. This halacha is pretty clear. Now the Gemara is going to proceed to another example, which is actually displayed in the lower diagram of Rashi, where you have the middle karfif, which is wider than the karfif to the right and to the left. So what's going to be halacha there? Continues the Gemara. About 8 lines from the bottom. Vaday im tsoy mugufav ushnay machatsoyim ena mugufav. Certainly in the case where the middle one is mugufav, he's wider, he overlaps. But the shnay machatsoyim are not. They're less wide than the middle one. V'yachad b'zeh, v'yachad b'zeh, v'yachad b'zeh. And you have a single person residing in each one of these three karfifos. What happens then? In this case, you can't apply the formula applied earlier. Hey, noislem el beis sheish. They only have six sa in total, meaning when a single person lives in this enclosure, he's only allowed to carry in it if it's up until two sa in size. So in this case as well, nothing changed. Why? Because although the fellow in the middle overlaps the ones to the side, fine, let's say it's considered as though he's living there. So he's living in the karfif to the right, you still only have two people in total. He turns to the one to the left, you still only have two people in total, because it was one in each one beforehand. So in this case, you never go past two, has the din of a yachid, which is allowed only up until two sa. This halacha is pretty clear. Iboilu, so the Bnei Yeshiva asked, what's going to be in the case, in the following two cases? So again, we're speaking about the lower diagram in Rashi, where the three karfifas are lined up, but the middle one is wider than the ones to the right and to the left. It says, what's going to be in the following two cases? Echad b'zeh v'echad b'zeh. You have a single person living on the karfif to the right, a single one residing in the one to the left, ushnayim b'emtsoy. But there are two people in the middle one. Ma, what's the halacha here? So we say that the middle one is controlling the other ones. He extends his residency into the ones beside him. So in this case, when we have two people in the middle, should we say that it's mutter? If we consider them to be living in the kafir, for instance, to the right, because they're extending over to the right, so it's as though they went out to the right and we have three people living there, because there was already one living there beforehand, and the two who arrived from the middle one bring it to a total of three. Vila hachanafki, if they choose to go out to the other one, klasavi. So there as well, klasavi, we have three. So should we say it's as though they reside in the karfifis to the right and to the left, both of them. They have control, they extend into both of them. So it's as though we have three people living to the right, three people living to the left, and therefore those karfifis, those enclosures, can be even larger in size because they feature a crowd. That's one side of the coin. Idilma, perhaps, don't say that those two from the middle are transporting themselves over to the right and to the left as well. No, idilma chad lahachanafik. One of those two are extending themselves, is extending himself, is going out to the karfif to the right. Chad lahachanafik. And the other fellow is going out to the other one. Why? Explains Rashi, because the presumption is they don't want to live crowded. And why should they go ahead together and end up having three in one place? They probably prefer distributing the population evenly. Have one guy go out this way, one guy out the other way. In which case, you don't really have three people living together. So you don't have a rav. So perhaps you don't have the allowance of a large-sized karfif. So I have two sides to this shaila. Continues the Gemara with another equation. V'imtim salayma. Now, if you propose that chad lahachanafik, v'chad lahachanafik, then the above-mentioned case, one individual goes out to this side, one to the other side, and therefore you don't really have three in any of the enclosures. If you assume that that's the position we're meant to adopt, what about the following case? Shnayim b'zev, shnayim b'zev, echad b'mtsoy. Let's say you have the same configuration, right? You have three karfifos. The middle one is wider in size. And you have one person residing in the middle one, the larger one, and two in the karfif to the right, two in the karfif to the left. Ma, what is the halacha here? Hachavale, here certainly, ila hachanafik tlasavu. If this fellow in the middle is deemed to be extending himself over to the right, you have three. Because you have two who are there beforehand, and when he arrives, brings it to a total of three. Vila hachanafik. Or alternatively, if he goes out to the other side, tlasahav, there as well you have three. So perhaps we should consider the two extreme karfifas as though they're housing three people, and they can be large in size. That's one side of the equation. A dilma, perhaps. You can't say that. Either he goes out this way, or he goes out that way. You can't apply him in both directions. Eimar l'hachanafik. Perhaps we'll say that he's going out in this direction. Ve'im l'hachanafik. Perhaps you'll say he goes out the other direction. You can't apply him in both directions. If that's the case, then none of these enclosures will feature three people. So what is halacha in these two cases? Concludes the Gemara, v'hilchasa bayan l'kula. The halacha is that in all these questions, all these shailas, we go l'kula. We learned this many times in the Masechta. When it comes to questions regarding sveikas, regarding erevin, we go l'kula. And therefore, in all cases, we consider as though there are three people living in there, and even a large size enclosure is allowed. So in conclusion, we have the case of the three karfifas lined up. So in the first configuration, where the outer ones were mrugufafin, were overlapping the middle one, and they are controlling the middle one, they're extending their residency into the middle one, then in all cases, the middle one is considered to be a place which features a rabbim, and that middle one can be even larger in size. In the case where the emtsoi was wider than the ones to the side, and it depends. If there's a yachid and a yachid, a single person living in each of these karfifos, then we don't have a rabbim in either one of the karfifos. However, in the last two cases where you had two on the right, one in the middle, or two on the left, or one on the right, two in the middle, one on the left, In either one of these cases, the more concluded we go to kula, and we consider the enclosures to the right and to the left as though we have three people living in there. Why is that? Because when we have a yachid in the middle, it's as though he's extending himself in all directions. He's living on the right, he's living on the left. Likewise, when we have two people living in the middle, and only a single person to the right and to the left, we view those two people as though they extend themselves over to the right one, to the left one, and therefore those extreme karfifos feature three people, and can be even large in size. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Chisda, Gidud Chamisha. Gidud means elevated ground. So if you have ground which is elevated, 5 tfachim from the ground below it, Umechitza Chamisha, then you constructed a mechitza of 5 tfachim in height, atop that elevation, right at the edge. So you have a chatzah which is lifted 5 tefach from the area below it. So you have a 5 tefach high barrier, a natural barrier. Then you constructed another mechitza right at the edge of that elevation, 5 tefach high. So you have gidud chamisha, this elevated ground which is 5 tefach in height. A mechitza chamisha, as well as a constructed mechitza of 5 tefach right on top of that. They don't join together. They can't combine to create a mechitza of 10 tefachim. Ad shehi oikulei begidud. It must be either completely via gidud, through ground elevation, a mound, a post, naturally different levels, oikulei b'mechitza, or completely constructed. You can't join together ground elevation with a constructed mechitza. Let's take a look at Rashi, on the top of the Amud here, the top line. Gidud Chamisha, says Rashi. For instance, Chatzar. You have a courtyard, Shekarki Issa, Gavaya, Chamisha Tfachim, which is the Girsa Gavaya Mechaverta. So it is elevated 5 Tefach from its friend, from its neighbor. So that created a barrier of 5 Tefachim. Voisifal Oisa Gaiva Mechitza Hei. And on top of that elevation, right at the edge, they added another mechitza, 5 tefach high, says Rechizda, they don't join together. It doesn't create a din mechitza of 10 tefach. It must be either or, either fully constructed or by means of elevated, by means of discrepancy in height. You can't join together two things. Meisveva kashma b'raisa, shtechatzer zu lemal mezu. We have courtyards, which are situated at different levels. We have an upper one and a lower one. Vel yoyna gevoyim natachtoyna asara tefachim. And the height discrepancy between the upper and lower is 10 tefachim. So that forms a natural barrier, a natural mechitza. Oy, sheish begidud chamisha, mechitza chamisha. Or the height discrepancy, the gidud, is merely 5. And you've constructed another mechitza on top of that ridge, 5 tefach in height. That creates a proper separation. Ma'ariv and Shnayim, they must make 2 separate Erevs. Ve'ma'ariv and Echad, they can't join together. Pachas Mikan, if the Mechitza is lower than that, Ma'ariv and Echad, then they must join together as one. Ve'ma'ariv and Shnayim, they can't make 2 separate Erevs. We see clearly that Gidud and Mechitza are Mitztarev, this is a Kashter of Chizd. Omar Rav, Moider of Chizd, Chizd would agree. Betach Toina, regarding the lower Chatzar, it's considered to be a proper barrier for him. Why? Hoil v'roya pnei asara. Since he is faced with a barrier of 10 tefachim. When he takes a look at this, at the upper chatzah, what does he see? He's faced with a mechitza, a barrier of 10 tefachim. 5 of it naturally occurring, and 5 of it via construction. So as far as the lower chatzah is concerned, it's considered to be a proper valid mechitza. If Chizah was not discussing the chatzar on the lower end of things, Rav Chisda was merely saying that the upper chatzar doesn't really benefit from this mechitza because he doesn't see, he's not faced with a mechitza of 10 tefach. Let's see Rashi. Up on the second line from the top, Moider Rav Chisda b'tachtoina, he agrees that the tachtoina d'lagaba havi mechitza. With regards to the lower chatzar, it's considered a proper mechitza. Aval gabal yoyin alav mechitzi. It is relative to the upper chatzar that this type of mechitza doesn't work. Why? She'ena roep espnei asora lemechitzasa. He's not faced. He doesn't see a barrier of 10. V'yave kulei begidud shapir dami. Now, if it would be completely via elevation, meaning the height discrepancy originally would have been 10 tefachim, that would be okay. Shapir tefei, that would be better. Why? Because then the upper chatzar will notice that. Mishum de mishtam shel hedya. I'd say v'agidud. Because he makes use of the area right next to the, right next to that ridge. And he looks down, he sees, oh, there's a 10 tefach discrepancy. V'roi ha'goyva. Yaisel chaver tefsara. He sees that he's 10 tefach in elevation. U'minkor mechitzas. And it's visible, it's noticeable. Likewise, if he has a properly constructed 10 tefach mechitza on his surface, on his ground, then certainly he notices 10. But when it's 50-50, it's 5 tefach via elevation, a 5 due to the mechitza, then he doesn't see anything. He doesn't see a mechitza of 10, nor does he notice the elevation, because he can't see past. He has a mechitza blocking him. He has 5 tefach blocking him. So it's different than when it's just via mechitza, or strictly through ground elevation, in which case Rashi says, he peers over, and he sees the height discrepancy. So, the conclusion here is that according to Rav Chisda, although the Elyona doesn't really have use of this mechitza, but the Tachtoina certainly is considered to be separated through this combined mechitza. Says the Gemara, okay, if that's the case, Ihachi, Tachtoina ta'arav shnayim, loy ta'arav echot. We understand why the chatzar on bottom of this combined mechitza must separate, must make his own eruv. It can't join with the upper mechitza, upper chatzar, because he's separated with this mechitza. However, Elyona, regarding the upper chatzar, who has absolutely no separation between him and the bottom one, as far as he's concerned, he's fully connected. He's parts. He's breached to the chatzar next door. Elyona le ta'arav loy echad v'loy shnayim. The Elyona can't do anything. He can't join with the bottom one. He can't be ma'arav echad because, fine, he's connected, but the bottom one is disconnected from him because the bottom one has a mechitza. So one erev he can't do. V'loy shnayim. Nor can he do separate Erevs, meaning he can't make his own Erev either, Rashi explains, because he's parts. He's completely breached to an area to which he can't carry. So, how can the Braisa tell us that in this case, they make separate Erevs, which indicates that not only will the bottom Chatzah make its own Erev, which will allow it to carry throughout its Chatzah, the upper one can do so as well, but if the upper one doesn't have a Mechitza between him and the bottom one, he can't carry at all. He can't even make his own Erev, because he's parts to the bottom one. Amar Rabba Bar Ula, Kigoyin Shehoyse El Yoyne Mugefefes Adesu Amis. We're speaking in the case where the upper chatzar also had its own mechitza. What happened was like this: we have the lower chatzar, and we have the upper chatzar, who's elevated 5 tefach from the lower chatzar. Now, we had a mechitza on top, right at the edge, 5 tefach in height. So as far as the lower chatzar, it's a full-fledged mechitza because he's faced with a 10 tefach barrier. 5 due to height discrepancy, additional 5 due to construction. Says the Gemara now that actually the upper chatzar also had a mechitza, a proper mechitza right at the edge, 10 tefach in height, which was constructed on that hill. Kigon shehoyse el yoyne mbegufefes. Now there was a gap. This 10 tefach mechitza, which enclosed the upper chatzar, creating an enclosure, wasn't going throughout the entire area. It left a gap, a pesach. So it was 10 tefach high. But there was a gap in the middle of that, where the mechitza was merely 5 tefach high, which doesn't really help the upper one. So right now, the upper one is also enclosed. To close with a proper mechitza of 10 tefach in height. And it has a pesach. The gap in the middle doesn't harm anything because it's considered to be a pesach between him and the lower chatzar. So he had a mechitza 10 tefach high, which left a gap up until 10 amis. That's considered to be a pesach. And that explains why the elyon is not also. The kasha was that he's completely breached to the tachtam because it doesn't have a mechitza. Because this combined gidud and mechitza doesn't help the alien. Yeah, we're speaking about a case where there was a properly sized mechitza right on top of that ridge, running near the edge. which creates an enclosure for the upper one, but there was a gap in the middle, which creates a Pesach between him and the lower one. That explains why the Elyonah can make their own Erev. They're not Nifrits, they're Tachten. So each Chatzar is considered to be a relatively independent entity, and they can make their own separate Erevs. Says the Gemara, Yehoch, if that's the case, Eim Masef. Let's take a look at the next part of the Brice. Pachis Mekan. If the five Tefach Mechitza running across that ridge, all along that edge, was actually less than five Tefach in height. So evidently we're not speaking about the sides, because the sides have a Mechitza of 10 Tefach high. We're speaking of that gap in the middle we spoke about, where the Tefach Mechitza doesn't enclose. So that 10 Amma gap in the middle, which still has a short mechitza, right? Because that five tefach mechitza ran all throughout the area. Let's say pachas mekan. The Brisa says, let's say that mechitza in the gap area was less than five tefach in height. What's the halacha there? Ma'arvin echad. They need to make one erev. Ve'ei ma'arvin shnayim. And they can't make two separate erevs. Why? Because we were relying on the mechitza between the two chatzeres, and that gives them the option to go ahead and separate. But if there was no mechitza, then the Braisa tells us they have to connect. Ma'arvin echad ve'ma'arvin shnayim. Now, one second. If we're speaking that there were very tall mechitzas, 10 tefach high mechitzas running near that edge, leaving only a small gap in the middle, which is a Pesach, then what's the problem? Even if that Pesach doesn't have any mechitza, it's only a Pesach. We know that when there's a wall between two chatzeres, which has a Pesach, then the chatzeres can choose either one of the two options. They can connect or disconnect. If they want, they can make one erev with each other through that Pesach. If they want, they can make two separate erevs. So why does the Brice insist on them making one erev? Amar Rabba, Brei de Rava. Say it like this. Kegoin was speaking in a case, Shenifretza HaTachtoina B'Meloya L'Elyoina. What happened was that the Chatzar HaElyoina was wider than the Tachtoina. So it's like this. We have the Chatzar HaTachtoina, which was very narrow in size, and the Chatzar HaElyoina, which was wider. We have those tall mechitzas running right near the edge, leaving a gap, a 10-amah gap in the middle, which is a Pesach. So it serves as a Pesach for the upper chatzar, right? Because he has those overlaps, those tall 10-tavah mechitzes, which create a Pesach between him and the lower one. So he can make his own erev if he wishes to. But the problem is that the lower chatzar was actually a narrow chatzar, and he's not any wider than that Pesach, meaning that that opening, the Pesach, coming from the Elyon to the Tachten, actually serves to be Pyrus the Tachten. The Tachten is completely breached to the Elyon. Right? Because that Pesach encompasses the entire width. So he has no Mechitz, he has no Pesach. So that explains why the Braisa tells us that if that Pesach, that gap, is not serving as a mechitza, because the mechitza there is less than 5 in height, and now the tachten has no mechitza separating him and the elyon, because at that point where they meet, which encompasses the entire width of the tachten, it's completely open. There's no mechitza there. It's pachis mikan, meaning the mechitza which ran across the edge does not cover that area. Perhaps there's some mechitza there, but it's less than 5 tefachim in height, in which case we don't have a total of 10. Because although the height elevation, the height discrepancy, is 5. But let's say that mechitza running across that gap is merely 2. So the tachten doesn't have anything to separate him from the elyon. He only has 7 tefachim. In which case, he's completely breached to the elyon. And he's stuck. He can only join together with the elyon. He can't make a separate erev. So, although the elyon has a proper separation, because looking from the elyon's point of view, he has a mechitza 10 tefach high, enclosing him, leaving a gap of up to 10 amos in the middle, which is fine, which is a Pesach for him. So he's completely fine, he's comfortable where he is, he can make his own separate Erev. but the tachtin is completely breached the elyon. So that explains why you have to make one erev. Says the Gemara, okay, but that's only a concern for the tachtin, but not for the elyon. Ihoch, if that's the case, tachtin nechatar, fine. The bottom one needs to, is compelled to join in one erev with the elyon because he's completely breached. But trei letiar, he can't make his own erev. But elyona, the upper one, who has that pesach, who has that, has those mechitzes, which separating from the tachtin, elyona ibay trei tarav. If the elyon wants, they can make their own erev. Ibay, if they want, chatarav. If they wish, they can join together. So why does a brisa require one erev? The elyon doesn't have to join with the tachtin, because you just told me he has those high mechitzes, which separate him. Says my nechnami, you're right. When is the Braisa referring to? What is the Braisa pertaining to? When it says that the Mechitza is lower than that, meaning if the Mechitza at the gap doesn't provide Mechitza for the Tachtin, then what is the Lacham Avon Echad? They have to make one Erev. They can't make two separate Erevs. It's referring strictly to the Tachtin. The Tachtin is stuck. He must join with the Elyon because he's completely breached. But you're right. The Elyon can still make his own independent Erev. Because as we said, we're speaking in a case where not only was there merely a combined mechitza due to higher elevation, plus 5 on top of that, there was actually a much higher mechitza of 10 tefachim, enclosing the upper one, up until a certain point where there was a gap which creates a pesach. So the elyon is fully enclosed. He doesn't have to join with the tachtin. The tachtin has no choice, because as we said, he's narrow, and he's completely breached to the Elyon through that Pesach. He only has one choice. Join with the Elyon or no Erev. Continues the Gemara. So working with Rav Chisda's Halacha, that you can't combine Gidud with Chamisha, we explain the Braisa in a way that doesn't interfere with Rav Chisda. Says the Gemara, Darsh Marema, Marema taught, no, Gidud Chamisha, Mechitza Chamisha, Mitztarfen. We have elevation plus construction, it works together and creates a Mechitza. Says the Gemara, Ashichei Ravina, the Rav Acha Brei de Rav. Ravina encountered Rav Acha, the son of Rav. Amalei. So he asked him, Tani Mar Mide B'Machitza, did you learn any Braisa concerning Machitza? Presumably he was referring to the case of these combined Machitza. Amalei, lo, he said, no. So some of Varshim explained that the point of this question answer was that the Manda Amar earlier, Dorash Marimar, held that you combine. And there's a girsa which says, Amalei, when he met him, he told him, Tani Mereimar Midib Mechitza. Did you hear anything in the name of Mereimar when it comes to Mechitza? Can you corroborate that halacha? And he said, no, I don't really have any corroboration to support the fact that Mereimar holds the Shita. So it pertains somewhat to the discussion right before it. Concludes the Gemara, Vehilchasa, halacha is Gidul Chamisha. If you have an elevation of 5, Mechitza Chamisha, with a Mechitza of 5 and Starfen, they join together and combine to create a proper Mechitza, unlike Rav Chisda's Shit. Continues the Gemara. Boy Rav Oishi. The urine haboin b'Shabbos. Let's say we have residents who arrived on Shabbos. You have two chatzeres with a wall in between. They made their two independent Erevin. On Shabbos, the wall collapsed. A tornado came along, wiped away the wall. Now they're all one, living in one place of residence. It's like new residents arrived. There was no Erev between them. Do we say, well, it becomes Aser? Or perhaps since it was already Mutter at the onset of Shabbos, things won't change during Shabbos. The Heter remains intact. The Yuren Habayim b'Shabbos Mao She Asru. Can they make things Aser? Amar Rav Chisda Tashma bring a Raya from the Mishnah we just learned. Chatzar G'dayla Shenefes L'Ktana. If you have a large Chatzar, which was breached to the small Chatzar, Hagdolah Muteres, Vaktana Asura, the large one can carry, the Tana can't. Vepeshi Kipisla Shel Gdolah, because the small one is considered like an entranceway to the Gdolah. And the Gdolah has control of the Tana, does not get interfered by the Tana, whereas the Tana is completely breached to the Gdolah, Nifers Lamakama Asula, and must stop carrying. The Gemara is assuming it happened on Shabbos. So apparently, things can change on Shabbos itself. Although the Tana was Mutter before it was breached to the Gdolah, but on Shabbos, when things happen, Mechitza disappeared, the Tana becomes Asa. Amar Rabbas, Rabbi responded, no, Amar, let's say, by Jem Nefretza. Let's interpret the Mishnah to be referring to a case where the pirsa happened before Shabbos, but not on Shabbos itself. That wouldn't change the halach. Amalei Abaye. So Abaye told him, Lo yitema mar, Amar. Mar's master, referring to Rabbah, you shouldn't say Amar, perhaps it happened before Shabbos. Just as a speculation. Ella, rather, vadaim boidei mifritza. It must be. That's the proper case. That's the proper description of the scenario that happened before Shabbos. Because if it would have happened on Shabbos, things would not change. How do I know? The Hamar would Amar, because you yourself said, Boy minim Rav Huna, I asked Rav Huna. Uboy minim Rav Yehuda, I asked Rav Yehuda. What is the halacha in the following case? Irev derech ha-Pesach. V'nistam ha-Pesach. Let's say we have two chatzeres with a wall in between, with a Pesach, which allows them to join, make one Erev through the Pesach. And they did so. But on Shabbos, that doorway became blocked. Some stones fell there and it became blocked. It's no longer accessible. Or Irev derech ha-Loin. V'nistam ha-Loin. They made an Erev through a window. And that window became blocked on Shabbos. Ma, what is the halacha? Is the Erev still in place? Or became invalidated through the change of the configuration? V'amrli, and he told me, Shabbos kivan shehu tzehutra. Once the heter was activated for Shabbos, it remains that way. The heter remains intact. So Abaye tells Rabba, you yourself taught us the halacha of Shabbos shehu tzehutra. And once a heter has been applied for Shabbos, it no longer gets rescinded. So it must be that the Mishnah, which is describing the Chatzar G'dayla, which was Nifritz Ketana, which makes Ketana Asar, is obviously speaking where it happened before Shabbos. In which case, Ketana is Parat and Asar. But if it would have happened on Shabbos itself, no halachic change would take place on Shabbos. Okay, time for a brief Chazara of today's daf. We began with some responses to Abaye's difficulty with the mechitza making things asr. The Gemara brought a couple of rayas from Kalayim, and Abaye responded by saying, it doesn't really provide a precedent to this concept. We don't really find anywhere a mechitza which will make isr. The Gemara proceeded with the case of the three karfifos lined up next to one another. The karfifos were enclosed with mechitzas which are not properly constructed, either only having vertical or horizontal elements. Halacha there is, if a yachid is living there, then it could be up until two saw and still be allowed to carry. If there are three people living in there, then it could be even larger in size. So you have two different cases. We had a case where the outer ones were wider than the middle one, yichitzoinim begafafin, in which case we consider the middle one as though it houses three people and could be even larger in size. In the case where the middle one was begufaf, meaning wider than the other ones, then it depends. If there's a yach living in each one, then there's no allowance, more than two saw. However, in the case where you have two people living in the middle, in that case we say, well, it's as though they're living on the right, living on the left as well. We have three people to the right and to the left, and they can be large in size. In the case where you had two people on the right, two people on the left, and even a yach in the middle, we consider the right and the left to have three people, because the one in the middle is considered as though he lives off to the right and off to the left as well. And then those can be even larger in size. We discussed the case of a combined mechitza. There's gidad chamisha, mechitza chamisha. You have five tefach of elevated ground, plus five tefach of mechitza constructed above. Then have din of a mechitza asura. So it depends. For the person viewing the entire barrier, for the chatzar below, who's faced with this tefach barrier, all agree, it has a din of a mechitza. Regarding the person living on top, only notices five, we have machlekes. According to Rav Chizda, it's not a mechitza. According to Meremer, it is. And that's how the Gemara concludes. We concluded the halacha of Shabbos Shehutra, Hutra.